I'm 89.
Well, tell me, with your experience in World War II, were you drafted or did you enlist?
Well, I was called in by number, whatever you want to call it.
Drafted, okay. How old were you?
I was 23 years old. I was one of the older ones.
Tell me what happened from that time when you were drafted. Where did you go for training? Where did you go for.
Oh, I trained all over the country, and I spent a full year in Fort Hood training officers. I could have as high as a colonel go out in a tank with me, which they called the Hellcats, you know, and they'd have to wash it when they come back, even though they were a colonel and a lieutenant. See? Yeah, we used to train officers for quite a little. And then we finally went overseas. I didn't get there on D-Day, but I was there a month later. I was in England. I watched the show that day. And, oh yeah, I seen a plane hit the dust about 100 yards from me whenever they'd find his boots.
That was in England.
Yeah. And that was just almost like hitting this floor, I think. Yeah. Oh yeah, I seen lots of planes bite to dust.
What branch of service were you in?
I was in the Army. And I was at the 6th Armored Division, and I was with the 603rd Tank Destroyers, which was a lone battalion with them, and so on, you know. Yes.
Where did you go from England? How long were you in England and where did you go from there?
From England, then I went over to the Omaha Beach, and we had to clean our tanks up. And that was the time when a few of our front got a little from the air car. The smoke signal happened to pass away. You know, the wind changed on them, yeah, because they used the smoke signal then a little better than they do now. Yeah, now they do quite a job of it. Yeah.
Is there an experience that you remember most distinctly from when you were there?
Oh, there's a few experiences. One day I got my hat shot off.
Where were you when that happened?
I was standing up in the tank, destroyer, and we was going through a small town, and got me from the back when we was all just about through. Yeah. And then there was one of my buddies on the riding on the tank, and he got hit worse than I did, I think. But you know, it made me kind of mad. They ruined my helmet, you know. Well, it couldn't work no more. Wouldn't that make you mad?
It would make me mad, but I would also be scared if I were hit in the helmet. Were you scared? I mean, what went through your head when that happened? Did you think you were.
Oh, just knocked me down. Then I went to England on a English hospital ship. Oh yeah, and I was off a month or so, and I was back doing the same thing over again. Yeah.
Did you want to go back after that month?
Oh, I didn't care. I was used to it then, and I fought in four different big battles over there in Europe, and I was in four different armies, you know, with English, the Canadians, and the French, and United States, and I don't know.
So a lot of different experiences then while you're over there. I notice your hat, it's disabled Veterans, were you disabled in World War II?
When I come back, I was in Wisconsin, and I stayed 2 extra days to get all that on my records, you know, and I got it on my records. So then they didn't give me World War II till, oh, a year and a half, 2 years ago. Yeah. And then, yeah, that's when they give that, you know, and they there's other things that brought it on too, you know, because I didn't get it till late. They always said my records was burnt. See, we called and called and called. My youngest daughter, which she's the baby, 43 years old, and. And you know, one day I was in the front office in this building, and I don't remember the guy's name, but he said, "I don't think your records is burnt." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Your records, I think, are up to cities." And he got them, went through them. I never seen him, but he went through them. And right after that, well, it was easier to get 100% when I got my records back. See, I had records from that the government just left out that year too. Oh, it had a fancy name. I can't tell you what it is, but anyway, they was selling them out. See, my daughter, she bought the records. It even showed my record when I was in the hospital over in England. Oh yeah, they took pretty good care of me.
When the bullet hit your helmet, right?
Yeah, it put more or less helmet liner and steel in my head. The bullet never really hit my head, but it broke a big hole in my cap and made it unusable. Yeah.
So what did you think of the Germans at that time? What did you think of the enemy?
Oh, the enemy are people like more or less us, you know, and rather than the ones in Japan, see, and they wanted to live. And we wanted to live, see. So we just battled free, and you know, it made a big difference, you know. I'll tell you, oh, I suppose 2 3 months after the war was over in this little town that I was in, oh, they put that, this little town that I was in, they, German girls, hired a band every Saturday night so we could dance. So, yeah.
So you had a great time.
Yep. Yep, I ended up with a Silver Star. And I, you know, even got the Good Conduct Medal. How about that? And then France sent me the Bronze Star. Three thank you things that are supposed to be framed. Oh yeah, I think the girls did that. Oh.
What was it like coming home? Did you have a big party and
Well, we come right past the Statue of Liberty in the middle of the night, and the girls come out and singing Sandal Mini Journey. Yep. Well, that was. It was coming home, you know. Well, I tell you, I needed a new pair of shoes, so when I come back, I went right through my hometown and got my shoes before I went home. I didn't like to pull boots, I guess. I don't know.
were you married at the time you were in the service?
No, we made an appointment. No, no marriage. And We'll wait till afterwards, and we did.
So you did have a girl waiting for you at
Oh yeah.
home. Tell me about her.
Oh, she wrote me a lot of letters and left me know the good and the bad, it's which they had quite a little trouble and big fire and lost one grandson and her brother's boy and yeah, so yeah, it was and then I wasn't much of a writer for letters, but I'd write her a letter quite often,
A love letter?
Oh yeah, the kids have still got some of them there. They got them, hold them. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with them. I think they're going to put them in the movies.
And remember you by, right?
Yeah. Well, what else do you want to know?
Well, what did your parents think at the time? Were they, was your mom really sad when you left for
Oh,
the service or?
my mom didn't feel too good about it. And in fact, after I got Silver Star and the Purple Heart and I don't know, there's another medal or so there. And she framed them in a little frame like this, and I never did take them out. I could have made the prettiest thing out of everything, with like the ones I got from the French government isn't included on my army records, see, in the United States, but I did get them. Yes, I did.
How about, do you remember when the atomic bomb was used on Japan?
Oh yeah, some sweet little German girl told me. She was doing my laundry and stuff, and I didn't know if they even had it till after they fired. And she told me, a German girl.
How did you feel at that time?
Me? How did I feel? Oh, I felt all right. I mean, maybe we should have dropped one over here, that's that. Hey, different class of people. Yeah, the German girls, I think, was more outstanding than the French girls, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Tell me about your hometown. Where is your hometown?
Well, I lived in when I went to service, I lived in Brewster. Then when I come back, I had this big family of nine, and then so I bought a duplex in Heron Lake, about 10, 15 miles apart, and there was no place for us to move. We was quitting farming, and so I bought this whole house, and I done all the carpenter work in it for 30 years that we lived in it, a big duplex, and then now my two boys are cutting that back to two homes. See? Yeah, it's two homes. They put in all new stuff in the house. Redone the whole inside just like it was a new building. Yep.
You had a family of nine?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep, they all got jobs, and the one stays at the house there, and he's doing some of the work at the house and hiring some of it. Of course, I paid for all this, and of course I get a nice little check from the government, and I had no place to spend it. What'll I do? I stay in over here. There's nothing I need. Like last Christmas, I think I got about nine sets of clothing of some kind, and half of them didn't fit me.
Oh. So tell me, Was it hard for you when you came back to talk about your experience, or did you want to talk about it, what you experienced
No,
during the
I
war?
didn't care. It didn't bother me that much. I don't know. Being that close, getting my helmet shot off and whole side of the tank, could have drove a tank and covered it up and it was gone, And then I got the Silver Star for breaking up a German a small invasion. One of my caught the other guys off guard, and I was the only one that stayed, and when I broke it up, when I left, my 3-inch gun was out of commission, and my 50 caliber was out of commission. All I had was our rifles. Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of fun like that. It's different. Now, my brother-in-law, he picked up that memorial thing, nice red and white banner and a big thing on the bottom, this year at up to city, see? And I wasn't shaped to go, I didn't think so. So he brought me one. Was just the Minnesota veterans. And you see, he lived in Sioux Falls here, but he went up with the Minnesotas. He went into the service in Minnesota. He had changed it over to here. Had a lot of good buddies in that service, and we always had a good turnout for everything we did,
Gatherings afterwards, after the war, a lot of people came.
Oh yeah, I kept track. One day I answered the doorbell, and here it was my old tank driver, and he was looking for a place to start a gun shop, and he always said he'd let me know where he's got it, but he n never did. He must have got too busy, and I know quite a few, several of them that's passed on that I was with. I had three or four drivers, during different ones, You fought in four battles, went into Bastogne here, and my daughter was, and her husband was, he was stationed over there, pretty close to that, and she went in there, this is quite a few years later, and she said the only damage you could see was a few tank tracks on some of the buildings. They were all damaged but one. And there was a old person, lady, living in that, in a little house, and it never got hit. Oh yeah. Yeah, I seen bombs going and getting shot down, and oh yeah, see them bail out. Oh yeah. One time I was down to Brest and at the southern France, and they we come up the river and we couldn't cross. There was no bridges, so they told us to draw fire. There was some 10, 12-inch guns in there. See, and the Air Corps wanted to know where they was at. See. So we'd draw fire, and so we could back away, and it was a pretty good cover there. And once you see the planes coming around, and 21 bombs dropping, count them on the way down and watch them. It was just like a movie show for a week. You know, with Lone Battalion, Maybe we'd be an infantry part, see? And, well, the infantry, well, they get a day or two off, and they'd send us out with the tanks. And, we was on the front line a lot. We was a lot more than a lot of people, see? Yep. And my dear old 6th Armored Division has been casted away. They done away with it just a few years back. Yep. No, I had a lot of close calls. Those big shells like just passed by your head. Yeah, they didn't do no damage. No. So, we didn't. But and another thing that if the sun was shining, or that was work with the air corps, and if we could get the German tank to move, they'd come in and knock it out for us. We didn't have to knock out, all of them. We had the battalion had a good record, see. Battalion bought, I think it was 36 tanks, and we it's all over. Yep, fought in all them wars. There's four different ones there, right in through there. And then we got way up to Leipzig, Germany, and in that area up there. Well, you can't do this. You've got to move back 20 miles. And the Russians get this. Because they wanted to be the ones to go into Berlin. See? Yeah. So we had to move back 20 miles. You think about that. That ain't hardly fair, is it? Well, anyway, we moved back. And the boys all went out camp, and I was on guard, and I don't think there was two people to camp with. I think they was all out someplace. I don't know what they're doing, but
You spent 3,600 miles on that tank in combat.
that's quite a ways. Yeah, and they was shooting at us all the time, but they never hit us. See them Hellcats would do right up to 70 miles an hour, so that would help us out. If we had to get to cover, we could get there fast. Maybe be dropping mortar shells trying to follow us up, but they couldn't catch us. Yep.